So we are up to third shir here of Shiluach HaKain. So, Kain or Kan. I think Kan Sipur is Hebrew, Kain is Aramaic. So in the Gemara it's read as Kain, and it's Kan, like in the Torah it's read as Kan. But anyways, as we get to, so we last time we talked about or concluded with the issue of the that it has to be, it can't be something that is totally in your possession. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't own it, it just means something that's not in your possession. So it appears that if it is on your front lawn, and like it's sort of accessible to a lot of people, that would be able, that would be subject to Shiluach HaKan. And but if it's in your backyard, surrounded by a fence, it is not, unless you could sort of make a condition on it that we're hereby like don't acquire things that are in my yard. I mean, the way it would be acquired into your yard is by what we call a kinyan chatzer. So just because there's a kinyan chatzer that was done doesn't mean that you had to, well, I shouldn't say that. If just because something came into your field doesn't mean that you're forced to accept it, right? It doesn't mean that you automatically make a kinyan on it. You have to, one has the ability to negatively affect that that kinyan. So if a person does have, regularly has nests in their trees, and nests in their backyard, and they would like to use it in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKain, so it's best to announce, pronounce that just because there's some a nest and some eggs in my in my property, it does not mean that I have hereby declared it to be that it doesn't does not mean that is owned, and I hereby declare it to not actually be mine. Okay, so I think that's where we got to last week. So now we get to Sif. Well, in theory, except they're not necessarily allowed onto your property, right? But if it is sort of a part of the property that people generally walk on, I'm not sure how to really define that. But for instance, our front yard, so there are people walking on it somewhat regularly. There's one neighbor in particular that has a dog that seems to walk on it regularly, which is not so great, but there is some distance from the street that is probably considered normal and accessible for people to walk on. So if a tree was there, so for example, there's that tree that was planted, I don't know, probably 7-8 years ago in front of our house that's right near the road, which is now pretty big. So if there would be a nest in that tree, I would imagine that that could be subject to Shiluach HaKain, even by people that are walking by, because the owner is not really machbid on people walking there, and certainly he does not claim possession over the nest and the birds that are contained within them. Okay, so that was last time. So now we move on to Sif Gimel here. So in Sif Gimel here in the Torah, it says Bein Be'ilan Bein Ba'aretz O Beboros Shichinu Maros Vafilu Matzu Biyam O Al Rosho Shel Adam. So it would be subject to it, whether to Shiluach HaKain, if it be in a tree or in the land or even in the pits or in the cisterns, and even if it was in the ocean, which the Beis Yosef quotes the Gemara that quotes Pesukim to prove that, or even if it's on the head of a person, still it would be all of those things would be Asur Likach HaEim Me'al HaBanim. You're not allowed to take the mother from the children, Afihu Tzorach Mitzvah, even if it is for the purpose of the mitzvah. What would be a possible purpose of a mitzvah? So Rashi here, not Rashi, the Beis Yosef quotes in the Gemara, means to be l'tayris ha-mitzora, that even if it's for the purpose of, you would say, korbanos, I'm not sure why he doesn't just say regular korbanos, but it's being used for a particular korban, to be mitayher a mitzora, still that would not exempt from the mitzvah of, that would not exempt from Shiluach HaKain. So all of these things are not going to be there. Now, just one interesting point here, why is that? So in the Beis Yosef, so the middle of the Beis Yosef here, Gimel, so it quotes the, how do we know that Barosho Shel Adam, so what about, I don't know, the first one line is Mahu, Mahu Omer Lahu, V'adama Al Rosho, because the Pasuk says that there is a Dhamma on his head. Upeirish Rashi, oh look, that's that'll be in Navish here in the next, well, I don't know, I would say this week or next week or in a month or so. Or whatever. Probably by the end of the month we'll get to this pasuk. Upeirish Rashi ba'adama al rosho afa pisha haisa barosho lo avda es shema. That Rashi makes the comment on that Gemara that even though the dirt might be on the head of a person, it doesn't lose its status of dirt. So Shema Mina Adam Gufei Adamahu. So we learn from here that a person is still considered to be Adama. Midolo Avda Shema Dolo Kriye Ofer. Vahashanami Al Aretz Kriyan Bey. And it's still right. It's not called dust; rather, it's called dirt. Meaning, the person does not interrupt the status of the dirt. And the Rambam adds in that it would be for any bal chai, roshar bal chayim. Also, it would be the same thing. It would be chayiv lishalach. I'm not sure, you know, how often this, but I guess when mothers complain to their daughters that their heads look like a bird's nest because they haven't combed their hair, so if it actually was a bird's nest, then one would be subject to shiluach hakein under those circumstances. Okay, let's do Dalet while we're here, and then we'll get into the Shulchan Aruch. So Dalet, it says elatzorich l'shalcha ad sheteitze mitachas yado va'acher kach yikei chabanim. So you have to send the bird away. Until what? Until it leaves your hand. So what does that mean, that it leaves your hand? So I'll have to see what that means. You got to throw it away, and it's got to be away. How away is away? So it's a bit of a question. And then you would take the children or the eggs. Now, another major question is: do you actually have to take the eggs? Right? Are you yotzei the mitzvah perhaps by just sending away the mother and having the ability to take the eggs, even though you don't necessarily take the eggs or the children that are there? But anyways, so v'im rotza lachtoch kanfeha kodem shiyishlachena k'dishlo tucha l'paros v'chena miyad eino rishai. And then the Torah comments that if you want to clip its wing before you send it away, so that it's not able to fly away, and that way you'll be able to get it back, meaning you're sending away the mother bird, so the mother bird might be gone, right? And you say, you know, no more mother bird. And I assume the mother bird is worth more than the baby birds, right? The mother bird's is a mother bird. Right. So, but the mitzvah is to send away the mother's bird, and essentially, as we'll see, it means to send it away in a way that it could get away, that it could be gone, right? That seems to be the way it is. So if I'm doing that, so maybe I could clip its wings so it doesn't, so I'll be able to get it back. So you say, no, not allowed to do that. Elo yishulchenu miyad im kanfeha, k'dei shetuchal lefroach, that'll be able to fly away. L'achar sheteitzi mitachas yado yichena im yirtza. And after you've sent it away, so then you can take it back if you want. V'im, if you can't. Right, v'im chadchan yishena, but if you did cut the wings, so then you have to wait ad sheyagdilu kanfeha v'yishlochen. You have to wait for its wings to grow back. Which, is that a thing? Is that like actually happen? Or is that just like a euphemism? I don't know. Okay.
Actually, cut off the tip of the wing, I think it permanently will not be able to fly. But if you were just plucking some of the feathers, I think the feathers could grow back.
And plucking feathers would keep it from flying?
Probably. Especially if you did it from one side and not the other, there's calls for an experiment.
Okay.
Yeah. It's been done already.
I guess so. Is there some kind of buzz or something? No? No, it just stopped. Okay. Anyways, so, all right, so where did this come from? So here in the Beis Yosef on the side, it says, so you send away the mother, right, v'achar, then you take the sons, right, that's the Gemara. Ad kama mishalcha, samar of Yehuda, ad k'dei shetetze mitachas yado. Far enough that it's able to get away, meaning you throw it away, and then it's far enough if that could get away from you if it wanted to. Now, if you want to cut the wings, what's that? So that's also the Gemara there. It talks about Ahud Gazino Legadfa Vishalcha V'achar Kach Tafsa Nagdeha. Rav Yehuda Amar Le Zil Rabbi Gadfa Vishalcha Maskinan Hasam Dehai Negida Have Makas Mardis Midrabanan. That actually discusses that Rav Yehuda gave Makos to some guy who cut the wings, and where it goes through a long discussion about how it could possibly do that, and the Gemara concludes by saying, you're right, it was only Makos Mardis, it was only Durabanan, it wasn't real Makos. And then, I mean, there is a Lotase involved, right? If you take the mother and then clip the wings and don't send it away, so then you've taken the mother, that would be a Lotase, right? So there is Makos in the picture.
Quick fact check, that they do grow back, and they will be able to fly, but
If you cut the wings or just if you cut the feathers?
Cut the wings.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They will grow back eventually, and apparent wings apparently grow through fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
So we don't have to experiment.
All right, so it is a real thing. Okay. So, and then finally, and then, but the Rambam here actually makes the point that any time you have a lav hanita klase, which this is, a lav which can be fixed with an assay, if you don't go ahead and do the assay, so then you could be subject to makos, meaning even though in this case cutting the wings would only subject him to makos mardus, there is a rule that is learned out from the discussion of the Gemara that any time you have a prohibition that leads to a positive mitzvah, for instance, returning the gezela, right, returning something that is stolen. So if the person doesn't return what is stolen, so then he, in theory, would be subject to makos. The truth is, that's not a great example, because he could always return what is stolen. So rather than give him makos, we would just take it and return it to the person. But if you could think of some other examples of a lav hanita klase, right, a lav that leads to a mitzvah assay, so then if you don't do the assay, you could be subject to makos. And yeah, and then finally, so how far does it need to go? So he says, Kadesh Tetz Mitachas Yado, and Rashi explains, Tetz Mitachas Yado, Vim Yachol Lachser Ulatafsa Mutter. But then, if you're able to go and get it, you could. Vamrin and Su Hasam Ahuda Asal Kami de Rava, Shalcha Vahadarle Rava, Parsatki Vitafsa. That Rava actually set traps. In fact, he doesn't tell you the whole Gemara here. The Gemara asks him about how far do I have to send it? So Rava tells him, oh, you got to send it away so that it could actually get away. So then the Gemara says, so then Rava set traps around it, around this guy's nest, so that he would be able to catch the bird after he sent it away. So the Gemara asks, that doesn't sound right. that doesn't sound like a very good thing to do. To which the Gemara, wouldn't that be a problem? To which Rava says, no, it was really backhanded traps. The guy really didn't anticipate getting them back. And therefore was mafker them, and then Rava was able to get them. Okay, so that is the premise. So now we get to the Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch here appears, Reich Tzadi Beis Sif Gimel, right? So he says, V'chol makum sheyim tse'enu, bein b'ilon, bein ba'aretz, o b'boro shichnu maros, o b'yam, o b'rosh shaladam, o b'rosh shar bali chayim, I think that's bali chayim, bein, right, which is a quote from the Rambam. The Gemara doesn't actually say that, but the Rambam said it, bein b'shusa rabim, bein b'shusa yachid, chayiv lishlach. Right, so either way, it would be subject to shiluach hakein in those contexts. Right. So the Tur clarifies sort of the distinction between Sif Gimel and Sif Beis, right? So Tur Vav says, right, the Tur Kasa, right, afilu berishusa, meaning this is the Taz, I'm sorry, that even if it's in your Rishus, Vatam, the reason being, I mean, even if it's in your area, so I, last week, you said if it's in your area, you don't get to, you shouldn't do it. He says, no, came to Ihu Lomatsi Zachi Mitzad Isser, Chatzero, Nami Lo Zachi. Right? Just if he wasn't Zochet, it's just because it's in his Chatzir, it doesn't mean that he was necessarily Zochet. Right? He didn't necessarily acquire it. We'll have a Mezumin, it wasn't set aside for him. So if it wasn't set aside for him, it could still be subject to Shiluach Hakim. Fine. Yeah, all right, there wasn't that much to speak about with regards to Gimel. Okay, Dalet gets a little bit more, discussion going on. So in Dalet it says, so yado. So you need to send it such that it leaves your hand. And then you take the sons. Now if you want to then clip the wings before you send it away, so it won't be able to fly away too far, and then you'll take it back. Rather, you should send it away right away with its wings in order so that it be able to fly. And then after you sent it away, you can take it back if you want. If you did cut it, so then you'd have to wait for them to grow back, and then you would be able to send them. Fine. Now, there is here a comment of the Gra, right? The Gra Ches is sort of what has some of the discussion here, where the Shulchan Aruch says, right, again, you should send away the mother until it leaves your hand, v'achar kach yikach es habanim, and then you take the sons. So if you look at the Gra says, v'achar kach v'chulei, Rashi sham. See Rashi over there. So what's Rashi sham? So if you go back a little bit to the in the Gra, so you'll see the not in Zion, he doesn't mention a Gemara, but in Vav he mentions two Gemaras, Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, and Bava Metzia Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, where it happens to discuss some of these issues. There it's talking about acquisitions, so how much do you acquire? Do you acquire birds? Does a renter acquire birds? That's a discussion over there. So over there, Rashi makes a comment that seems to imply that you then have the ability to acquire the eggs and send away the birds, implying that that is the mitzvah, right? That the mitzvah then is acquiring, is doing both, is acquiring the, is A, sending away the mother, and B, taking the eggs. Not everybody necessarily agrees to that, though. Hi, Bradley. Here's a link. There's a source sheet if you want to follow along. I think we're on page 3 of the source sheet, if you like. So, one second. Let me pull that up. Remember what I sent you? Okay, so, oh wow, you really can't see the gra on the source sheet, sorry. But anyways, so some spell this out as being a machlokas, that not everybody agrees that you're actually chayiv to take away the birds. In fact, I seem to recall that one time they set up, someone brought a nest in, I'm not sure how we did it, and whether we were really yotze, whether it was anything, but Torah Academy, one of the rebbeim, I think, brought in a bird in a cage, and told everybody, and had everybody do shiluach hakein to like sort of send it away and then bring it back or something. I don't know, that it doesn't seem like that fulfills the bracha in multiple ways. But he definitely didn't require the taking of the eggs, right? So that is, ends up being a machlokas whether we require that. Where does that whether that is required? So actually, I sort of skipped the piece here.
I'm not following the logic. I always thought that the whole mitzvah was that you wanted the eggs, and therefore you sent away the mother, and so you would take the eggs.
Right.
So what good is it to send away the mother and not take the eggs?
Right. So, right. So there is. So again, what's the pasuk? And it's taken me a couple weeks, I think, to actually figure this out. All right. The pasuk is, don't take the mother. Rather, send it, if you come across the mother and with the eggs. It. You know, do I have the pasuk here? When he sent. One second. Okay, so there's really three parts that are being discussed when we talk about the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, right? So at the end of Parshas Ki Tetzei, someplace in there. Earlier, where is that? Ah, there it is. Okay, again. So in Parshas Ki Tetzei, at the end of Sheni, right, you came across a kantzipur levana b'derech b'chol eitz o'al ha'aretz, efrochim o'beitzim, and there were chicks or eggs, right? So you are required to have both things there. And the mother is on top of the chicks or on top of the eggs. Don't take the mother from the kids. So that's number one. That's a lotase. That you're not allowed to do. Rather, send away the mother. The eshabanim tikach lach, and then you could take the children. Laman yitav lach varach the yamim. So that things will be good, and that you'll have a long days. So the question that is raised is to fulfill the mitzvah. Well, in the rational world, right? The way that we, if you have the rational understanding of the mitzvah. So the rational understanding is, like you're saying, right, that this is a mechanism in order to get the eggs. So much so, as we discussed in the first week, that if you have no interest in the eggs, and you have no interest in the chicks that are underneath, so then what are you doing bugging the mom, right? That's not that's just not a nice, a very nice thing to do. However, there is an idea that this was the first Piskei Tshuva here that we quoted here, an Aleph on the bottom of the page, from the Chavos Yair, but the Chavos Yair is quoting earlier sources, that there is a Kabbalistic idea to this as well. So, and that sort of became the excitement of doing Shiluach HaKein B'zman HaZeh, where people just go and, oh, look at that, I have a nest on my property, and I'm going to go do the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein, even though they're not even going to dream about eating those eggs. Like, that's just not something that they're going to look to do. Still, the people go ahead and attempt to do that mitzvah. Now, is that a good idea? So, probably according to the classical explanation, no. But there is certainly a theme within the Zohar that there is what to be gained by doing this mitzvah, by sending away the mother, because the mother is going to be all upset, and that way we'll be able to use the mother as an example for, just as the mother is, the bird is so upset, think about how upset all the Jews are, and Hashem might be willing to have rachmanis on the Jewish people. That's the sort of the underlying tone that is. A Kabbalistic understanding of this. So if that's the case, so then, all right, so I'm just, my whole point is just to send away the mother, right? That the shifted to a mechanism to getting the eggs / chicks to getting the mother upset so that Hashem will say, have rachmanis on the Jewish people, right? They're very different. But according to number one, you shouldn't, what are you doing bugging the mom? And you're right. If I'm not going to take the chick, so I shouldn't be bothering the mother in the first place. But according to the Kabbalistic idea, so then no, it makes sense. The mother's going to be upset by being sent away, regardless of whether I take the eggs. So the Vilna Gaon says, no, we have indication that you don't get, you still have to do the mitzvah, right? If you just send away the mother, so then, and don't take the eggs, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. While other opinions are, no, that maybe you have fulfilled the mitzvah. So if you take a look, I see I'm going out of order here, but that's fine. If you go to page 6, so this gets recorded here in the Aruch HaShulchan. So the Aruch HaShulchan here in Sif Gimel, top right, says, right, Yeshli Histapek, Im Zeh Shekasva HaTorah, V'yasabanim Tikach Lecha, V'im Zehu Chova or Rishus. Right, when the Torah says that then you could take the children, meaning the chicks, is the Torah saying that you are required to take the chicks because that's the mitzvah, or now you could take the chicks, meaning if you shecht an animal appropriately, so then you could eat the meat, right? Does that mean that I am mechuyev to eat the meat? Well, maybe, because otherwise it would be tzar balichayim for me to kill the animal in the first place. But putting that aside, I don't necessarily have a specific mitzvah to eat the meat just because I did shechita on it. So here the question is, do I have a specific mitzvah to take the eggs just because I sent the mother away? Right? That's the shaila. So the Aruch HaShulchan here says, I just lost my, here we go. Oh, no. Come up, come back. So the Aruch HaShulchan here says that is that obligation rishus. V'achar evecha min hagdol in pasuk shehu rishus. That there is a gadol who said that it was rishus. V'imrotzim mishaleach ha'im v'habanim yachad olo litzol habanim klal. Right, it's permission whether you want to send the mother with the children, or you know, keep or not to touch the children at all. Right now, I don't know enough about the Aruch HaShulchan to know if he added the parentheses or not. But it's a little weird to say there was a gadol, one gadol, and in parentheses you put in the ches chaf tzadi. Who is the ches chaf tzadi? Anybody know? For double points. Ches chaf, what? Ches chaf tzadi is the Chacham Tzvi. Yes, very good. So it's the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi was the father of Yaakov Emden, right? I mean, impressive in his own right. But so the Chacham Tzvi is that opinion, the Chamo, Sheshes Yamim Tavod or Sheshes Yamim Tochamatzos. Like, for example, it says 6 days you should work. Now, is there a mitzvah to work for 6 days? Well, according to that joke about the Lakewood guys, maybe there is, but technically there is no specific mitzvah. You don't have to work for 6 days in order to be yotzi the mitzvah of Shabbos. And you don't have to eat matzah for 6 days. Shem reshus v'lo chova. V'yishlavi raya l'zeh, from the fact that the Rambam says in Shechita, din avav ha'omer ha'reini notel ha'seim, u'mishaleach ha'banim chayv l'shalach ha'im. That the Rambam says that I'm hereby going to take the mother and send away the children, so you're obligated to send away the mother, right? And not necessarily take away the children. Umidalo kasav chayv l'shalach ha'im v'litol banim, shma mina d'bebanim ein kpeda. So we see that we're not, the Rambam at least was not makbid on the children. Ve'od raya mihad d'stanim shalchav v'chazari, quotes whatever, quotes other rayas to this. However, the gra in Dalid, ve'en lishaldim kein lamalun, skip to the next sif, Dalid, in kein lamalun klal hachkra d'ves habanim tikach, why is that there? D'yesh lomer, it's tzarech l'drasha l'cha, ve'lo l'chal v'chap, was meaning for a drasha, for you, and not for your dogs, meaning only if you want the eggs, not if your dog wants it, v'chshe habanim trefa, patu mishiloach, and when the children are trefos, you don't have to send it away, and therefore, if it's only going to be fit for the dogs, you don't have to send the mother away, as we learn later on. V'gami lishal d'imein chova b'lekichas banam lama b'emes patra torah kishein trefa, she'inza she'elas klal, d'atu tami torah guluyam lanu v'arei, gzerus melachi, v'heinam she'mif, Farshe Hatora Nasnu Ezatamim, Vilaspuri Balma, Valba MS Numig Aleha Loteda. Okay, fine. He says, and if you want to figure out all the Sfaros there, like Joel was wondering about before, so the Aruch HaShulchan says, don't worry about that too much. But then he continues on and says, Mikol Makom, Misha Zachiud Hashem Bemitzvos Lazu, Yikayim Krah Kedixiv, the Chol Rashus Shabatorihi Bemitzvah, Kemitzvah, Rakla Gabi Chova Rashus Karula. He says, but somebody who wants to fulfill the mitzvah, so he should do it the way the Torah describes. Va'od dilfitame hachachma shenemru b'mitzvah zu b'feir sharamban uvechaye uveyoser b'zohar v'tikunim b'dafkahu likach esabanim. But according to the reasoning that's provided by the, and he quotes from the Ramban. I didn't know the Ramban said it, but certainly you know we had it from the Zohar. Rabbeinu Bechaye quotes it from the Zohar. And according to that reasoning, then one would take the, then one would be required to take the children, even though I guess one could come up with a svara the other way as well. But that is the way the Aruch HaShulchan concludes. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to conclude that in order to be yotze, one needs to take something away from it as well. I think what many people do in order to avoid having to touch the eggs or the chicks is they just take the nest. Right? They just pick up the nest and walk away with it. And that way they'd be able to see the mitzvah that way.
And then they put it back then?
I don't know. Do what they want, I guess. Depends how nice they're feeling that way.
To carry the analogy a little further, do you have to actually use the eggs afterwards? Do you have to, like, eat them?
Yes, I don't think so. In fact, that actually leads to a further halachic issue, as we pointed out in, one of the first two shirim. There are a lot of birds that are probably kosher that we don't eat, right? That we require a mesorah on birds, right? As the Horowitzes know very well. That's part of the big family tradition. So if you're required to have a... So that's great when it comes. That's with regards to eating the birds. But what? But the mitzvah of shiluach hakein is only chayiv for is chayiv only for kosher and not for non-kosher birds. So what about if I'm not sure if it's kosher or not kosher? All right, we don't have a specific mesorah indicating that it's kosher, but it seems to be that it would be considered a kosher bird. So probably one would be yotze the mitzvah of shiluach hakein on, or one could go ahead and do the mitzvah of shiluach hakein, even though one would not go and eat it. But again, this whole discussion, right, is really mostly around the idea of the Zohar that we should seek this mitzvah out. Right, many Rishonim would say, "What are you talking about? Like, why are you even bothering with this if you're not going to be eating the eggs?" Okay, all right. The other sugya to touch on here. So this shows up in these on page 4 and 5. So this is from those journals that was put out from Rav Shmuel. So there is a at the very last sugya. Right, we talked about that you have to send it a little far. So the only problem with that is that the sugya towards the end of the Masechta, this already is getting you on to the last amud of Masechta Schulin, where the Gemara there says, Kufem Aleph Amud Beis, top of page 4, right, Levi Bar Simon Achni Peros Shovcho L'Rav Yehuda. So Atta L'Kami D'Shmuel Amar Lei Zil Taref HaKein D'Likavu V'Kaninu. This is not, I don't think this is quoting the entire, oh no, it is. Right, Levi Bar Simon sold Peros of his Shovach to Rav Yehuda. What does that mean? That he told Rav Yehuda, hey, Rav Yehuda, you can have, I'm selling, right, he sold to Rav Yehuda all the things, the Peros of the ground. I mean, not Peros, literally fruit, but anything growing there. For example, the eggs. So the eggs of the Shovach, he sold to Rav Yehuda. He told Rav Yehuda, you know, all eggs that are not hatched. What do you call it when a what? Laid, right? All eggs laid during the month of Tammuz, so you get. So the only problem is, so the Gemara there says that they came to Shmuel asking him, well, how is he able to acquire the eggs that are under the chickens? Because they haven't revealed themselves yet. I mean, there is no kinyan. Levi is not able to make a kinyan on those eggs because they're not accessible to him. So the Gemara answers. So maskinan hachi kamar le zil tarif akan delisgavhu v'nikninhu Levi bar Simon v'haduliknninu nehalich besuda. He tells him, go and smash a pan, like go take a pan and make a loud noise so that the birds jump up in the air a little bit, and then from fear of the pan, and then you'll be able to see the eggs, and then you'll be able to make a kinyan on the eggs. Right? So it sounds like he's like describing Shiluach HaKein, right? It sounds like, oh, does that all that I need to do? I just have to like smash this pot a little bit so that the chicken jumps in the air a little bit, and then I'm Yosei, right? The Ha Kaimulan Begemar Shan, the Asher Liskos Bebetzim, She'emru Vetzitz Aleim. That you're not allowed, why, I mean, what's the whole problem? That you're not allowed to own those eggs, which the mother is nesting upon. Shnei Marshal, after Shalechas Aim. Vahadar Abadim Tikach Lach, and then you can take the eggs. And therefore, not only can you not acquire them, but your chatzer doesn't even acquire them. And because your chatzer hasn't acquired them, Levi had no way to give them over to Rav Yehuda. So the implication of that Gemara is that in order for Levi to own the eggs, he doesn't need to send the mother away. He just needs to get the mother to jump a little bit. So is that already considered to be Yotze? Right? You hear we had earlier in Mishnah saying that in order to be Yotze the mitzvah, you gotta get the mother out of the picture. And now you have Shmuel giving direction that in order to sort of get around this Shiluach HaKein requirement, you just gotta get the mother to jump for a second. And as long as you can, you know, spot the egg for a second, so then you have the ability to be konit. What was the problem? The problem seems to be that you don't really have access to the eggs until the mother has jumped off of it in order to be, of course, with a Shiluach HaKein connection.
Didn't we say before that, like, you're only chickens
don't
lay eggs, but whatever, you don't need to do Shiluach HaKein?
No, the coop you do. It's the, it's your own proper, coop was in Gimel. Wasn't it? Actually, maybe not. Father, about Yon, yeah. If you look back in Sif Beis on the top right on page 3, he says about Yoni Shuvach Valiyah Vetzipar Shekanu B'Matbechim Uveboros Veuzim V'Tarnegolim Shekanu Pardes. You would be Chayiv. I mean, it's only things that are like in your like in a cage. That's what you would be exempt from. But if it's in a shuvach, where essentially the eggs, the birds are free to go, so then you're still going to be subject to the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. So let's finish up here. So the Chazon Ish here attempts to resolve this by saying that, no, that is going to distinguish and say, no, to be Yotzi the mitzvah, you got to actually send it away. Here, Nira the Chazon Ish here says, right near the mitzvah shiluach the amar le'el kadesh teitzim itachas yado hadam yershusa shim yachbutz atov so lo yucha that where you have to send it away because man shiyachul atavsa lo chashiv shiluach, and if you could grab it, it's not considered sending away. Near the chol shematza kan va'im rovetzes lo mahani tirufakan shetemu fefes ve'in kan fe'a nogos pekan ve'yifter mishiluach ad shetetzim itachas yado kedin shiluach. Right, that's the regular case. Right, it needs to, right. Otherwise, what would clipping the wings have anything to do with it? Right, the fact that clipping the wings is a problem indicates that you really need to send it away, such that the bird could get away. So what's here, Rabbi Yehuda? He's not chayiv b'shiluach. Kim de lo zacha iu b'banim elabaylim. He doesn't even own the eggs yet. I mean, you're only chayiv in shiluach once the eggs become recognizable. So the advice that Shmuel is giving, according to the Chazon Ish, is not how to be yotzei shiluach hakein. It's how to get to the point of being chayiv in shiluach hakein. Right? And only at that point that you're chayiv in shiluach hakein do you have the ability that's at the same point. And all you need for that is for the bird to jump a little bit. And in order to be kona, in order to give over those eggs to the next person, by way of even by not just giving over the eggs physically, but just doing a kinyan suder, just doing a kinyan with the handkerchiefs to demonstrate that you're giving it over. So that just requires a small jump, not the big chuck that is required to actually fulfill the mitzvah of shiluach hakein.
Actually, the last two pages are out of order, page 5 and page 6. Page 6 is the after effects of page 5 is the after effects of the Aruch HaShulchan, where there are quotes of Rav Shmuel is saying that, no, that you require a Kenyan, he said, first of all, the Chazon Ish said that you need to actually take the bunim, you need to take the chicks in order to be yotzei the mitzvah, and he quotes Rav Chaim Kanievsky as saying that for sure is true, and Naktin Tzarech Liskus B'Banim, right, that's the way we conclude. Now he adds on here an interesting ha'ara. He says, what about, so if you have these, first of all, the idea that there's an idea out there that once you touch the eggs, the mother's never going to come back. Have you heard this? Right? So apparently every Shiluach HaKein shir that I listen to says it's not really true. That it is true that after you've handled the eggs a few times, meaning if you send the mother away a few times, then it's not going to bother coming back, because in all likelihood the eggs, whatever's in the eggs, are dead at that point because the weather, the temperature is going to be off and things like that. But it will come back after once. If people sometimes do these Shiluach HaKein parties where they sort of send it and come back and send it and come back. So do you actually have to be kona it? So here he quotes here at the end that sort of. Where's my let me pull it up here. So at the end here it says zokim mina hefker, right? Umkevin lasos kinyan lizman near the mikomakum kaima mitzvah. That if you only acquired for a short amount of time, you still are yotzei. Why? Right? And not according to what the Ksos says, the Kinyan Lizman Mahani Afilin Yindalin Minim Umikri Nami Lachem Imkim Bavadei Sagi. I mean, according to this idea that he quotes from the Ksos, that when you acquire for a short amount of time, that's considered full ownership, such that it works even by Dalin Minim, so that's still okay. But even according to what we paskin like in Shulchan Aruch, the Kinyan Lizman Lo Mikri Lachem, right? We don't, when we do this thing on the first day of Sukkot, when we need to make sure that somebody else acquires the like the lulav and esrog, so we don't say, I'm hereby giving you the lulav and esrog for the next minute, right? We come up with a different concept called a matana al manas lahachzir, giving you this gift on condition that you're going to give it back, right? But that's different than this kinyan for a short amount of time. So here he suggests that the requirement of ownership when it comes to a dalim minim is different than the requirement for ownership here. That even if you say that an ownership for a short amount of time when it comes to lulav and esrog is not sufficient, you don't require the same amount of lachem. That's used for something else. Even doing a short amount of time, where I'm sort of picking this up and knowing it's going to be for a short amount of time, that would be sufficient. You could do that. You can only pick it up for a short amount of time and be kona it in that particular way. Okay, so a couple of the far out, far out halachas here of Shuloh HaKein. Number one, in order to be yotzei a mitzvah, you got to send it pretty far away. There's a Gemara that seems to say, talk about only making a jump a little bit. No, that's only to get to the point of potentially owning it so that you could do Shuloh HaKein. And finally, and that is the... And mother needs to be... I feel like there's one other... What was the other Nakuda here? And that you actually have to pick up the eggs or chicks in order to be yotzei the mitzvah, at least according to the Gra, even though the Chacham Tzvi seems to disagree. Okay, we're good? All right, welcome. One second here. Okay, so anyway, welcome, Bradley. Good to see you. Bradley, are you in with...